We now turn to God's holy word, the scriptures, for our instruction in righteousness, for our meditation, for our praise. We turn to the book of Jeremiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah in the chapter 36. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear his precious and holy word. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people of the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah, in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, and Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cusi, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand, and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now, and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, that they were afraid both one and other, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And went in to the king, into the court. They laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishamaiah the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishamaiah the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Delaiah, and Jeremiah made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamalek, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, "Take thee again another roll, and write in it the former words which were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed, and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not." Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. Amen. So reads God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. And may the Lord add his own blessing upon that public reading of his precious word. Dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to those words which I read to you in your hearing there from the prophecy of Jeremiah and the chapter 36. And as we begin, I turn your attention to the verse 23. "And it came to pass, when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he there is the king, Jehoiakim, cut it with a penknife, and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth." Here we have this wicked king, King Jehoiakim, very unlike his father, Josiah. He was a man that did not fear God. He was a man that totally rejected the word of God and in fact cut it up and threw it in the fire. But you know, God's word cannot be destroyed. God's word, though it is rejected by people, and let me tell you, there are people that may not be so brazen as Jehoiakim. There are people that are sat in churches and listening to the word of God that are very much like Jehoiakim. They hear the word of God and, as it were, they cut it out. They cut it out of their minds. They close their Bibles. They will not listen to what is being said. They may not be as brazen, but they are nonetheless rejectors of God and rejectors of His word. We can think of perhaps people that are very brazen or have been very brazen. We think of Richard Dawkins in this last 10 or 20 years or so, is renowned for his vehemency. He is an avowed atheist. He wrote the book The God Delusion and brazenly speaks about God. And he says, well, it's really abuse of children to teach them about God. It's foolish and it's simplistic how sinful it is to teach about a holy God and to teach about the way of salvation. Then you have men like Christopher Hitchens, who died in 2011, not so long ago, died of cancer, very, again, avowed atheist, extremely vehement and aggressive when it comes to speaking against the God of heaven and earth. And we're reminded that although men view him as a great intellect, God says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He wrote a book, God is Not Great. Christopher Hitchens is now in hell, and he now knows the greatness of God's anger and God's wrath. There have been other men. There are men today like Sam Harris. Perhaps you've heard that name, Sam Harris, a great outspoken critic of the Bible, aggressive, brazen. These people are either extremely deluded by Satan or just plainly evil. And they reject God's word. They laugh at it. They scoff at it. So these people, we would say, are atheists in word, and they're not ashamed of it. In fact, in some sense, I have more time for them than for people that sit in churches and will hear the word of God, and yet they reject it. At least they're consistent. They consistently reject God's word, and they speak out against, yes, they'll be judged for it. But it's another thing altogether, isn't it, to be a practical atheist, to be somebody that sits in church worship and hears the word of God and yet totally rejects it. That's a practical atheist. In fact, if you are one of these people, you are far worse. For to whom much has been given, much will be required. Now, it's always been that men reject the word of God, and it is always to their own, their everlasting destruction. And it was for this wicked king, Jehoiakim. He rejected the word of God, and it was to his destruction. 6 years from this point, this man, as the word of God declared here by the prophet Jeremiah, this man was destroyed. He didn't see even the final siege of Jerusalem, but was destroyed in a battle in 598 BC. Now, Jeremiah chapter 36 tells us how this wicked king of Judah, Jehoiakim, came to this point. He tried to dismiss the word of God, as so many people do today. As we read in this passage, it was in the ninth month, and the time is 604 BC, give or take a year. And he, as we read here, was in the winter house of his palace, the verse 22, sitting by the fire, hearing Jehudi, the king's emissary, read to him the words of the prophet Jeremiah. The words that were read to him were from the days of his father Josiah. And it was during the reign of Josiah that Jeremiah began his calling as a prophet, as the Lord called him, the youthful prophet from Anathoth. And here the king, Jehoiakim, notice in the verse 23, he takes his penknife and he proceeds to cut away at the word of God, which was sent by Jeremiah, throwing the word of God in the fire. And let me say, people do this today, maybe not literally. Many people have burnt Bibles, but they throw the word of God away. They dismiss it. And this teaches, this passage, if it's going to teach us anything tonight, that God's word cannot be destroyed. The word of God came back to him, and it came back with great judgment. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus as he spoke in Matthew 24 and the verse 35. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The words that were given to Jeremiah were given by the Lord himself, who is the eternal word, who became flesh, who spoke and spoke to Jeremiah. And friends, no matter what men say or do, God's word stands. God's word is forever settled in the heavens. All the great critics and the cynics of this world are now in hell. Those who ever lived and spoke against the word of God, they are now living that experience, that everlasting experience of the wrath of Almighty God. That God, as his word says, God is not mocked. And if we just simply sit under God's word and do nothing, if it does not effect change in our lives, we're actually mocking God. We're not obeying it. God's word is not simply to be heard, but it is to be believed and acted upon. Men shall be judged for they're not repenting. God commands all men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. This is what is required. And although sovereign grace calls sinners, God in his sovereign grace calls sinners to himself, and God is determined who will be saved. Nonetheless, there is the responsibility of man. God will not be mocked by those that scoff and simply hear the word of God. Greater judgment will come upon them. Now, Jeremiah was a true prophet of the Lord, and this passage teaches this. He has been ministering for many, many years. He ministered through most of the reign of this king here, Jehoiakim's father, Josiah. Now, Josiah was a very godly king, so different to his son, or should I say his son is so different to him. Now you notice in the chapter 1 and the verse 1, it begins, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And this proves again that grace does not run in the veins. It is of God. Josiah was a godly king, but when you read the epitaph of this king in the book of Kings, it's terrible. He did wicked things in the sight of the Lord. There were godly reforms under godly King Josiah, but the nation itself didn't really turn. Now God's judgment is coming. It's coming upon the people of Judah. Israel already fallen a good 100 years before. But now the judgment of God is coming upon these people of Judah because they will not repent. They will not turn from their sins. And Jeremiah's ministry spanned well over 50 years as he ministered, even after the siege of Jerusalem. And so he's been ministering throughout the days of godly King Josiah, and now in the days of his son Jehoiakim. And as this son reigns, we note that he is a wicked king, and the people's hearts are not turned toward the Lord. Now, if you notice in our chapter here, chapter 36, in the verse 1 to 7, we see that Jeremiah was told to write all the prophecies which the Lord had given him since the days of godly King Josiah. And we read from chapter 1. That was when Jeremiah was a very young man, called as a youth from the little town of Anathoth, not so far outside of Jerusalem. So all that Jeremiah had ever written was to be recorded all over and to be given and to be sent to this king, Jehoiakim, who is now reigning as his father has now died and gone to be with the Lord. And so why is he told to do this? Well, because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming to Judah. And if you notice the verse 3, perhaps if they hear the word of the Lord. Now it's the words which the Lord gave to Jeremiah. It's the written word of God. Perhaps if they hear these things, they will turn and they will repent. And God's word always comes with a loving warning, doesn't it? Repent or else. Yes, they must repent. The judgment is coming. But don't fight now. It's too late. In fact, we read earlier in Jeremiah, Jeremiah is commanded not even to pray for the people, because that turning point is gone. They've passed the Rubicon. It's coming. God's judgment is coming. And so we read in the verse 1, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. So that's a long, long period. Jehoiakim must hear these warnings from the Lord, and the people must hear it. The word of God has been recorded. Time now is 604, somewhere around there. But a year earlier, a very decisive battle was fought. The mighty nation Egypt, which this king and Judah were relying on to come and to defend them, has fallen to the Assyrians at the decisive battle of Carchemish in northern Syria. The battle was lost. Now the enemy, Babylon, the great enemy, has arrived. This is the enemy which the prophet Jeremiah has been warning the people about, is now finally arrived on the scene. This is God's judgment. God promised that he would send Babylon to judge these recalcitrant people. If they do not repent, he will destroy Jerusalem. The place will be ransacked. Fields will be burned. And the people will be led away for some 70 years into captivity. This time has arrived. And the message is plainly this: repent now. God is bringing this judgment. It's no use fighting, because all that will happen is that you personally will be destroyed in the battle. God is bringing this enemy. Now, notice here in the verse 1 to 2, Jeremiah is told to dictate to his friend and companion, Baruch. And he says to Baruch, you must go and you must give it to the king and to all the officials. You must give this word that I've been preaching for all these years that the Lord has given me. Jeremiah himself, he couldn't go because we're told he was shut up, the verse 5. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Well, in chapter 32, we read in the verse 2, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. There was an earlier siege, by the way. There was a series of three sieges. There was an earlier siege a few years before when, and during that first invasion, Jeremiah was locked up in the prison. We read, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. So Jeremiah 32 in the verse 2. Now, he is still shut up. We don't know for, is it the same reason that he's shut up? Was he under house arrest? We know that he was greatly despised by the people. The people wouldn't hear the prophet Jeremiah. They despised him. Oh, we don't want to hear of God's judgment coming. We want to hear peace, peace. But Jeremiah must be faithful to God's word, and he must issue the word that the Lord has given unto him. And he says to Baruch here, thou must go, the verse 6. Therefore, go thou and read on the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. This is the word of the Lord that Baruch must read. This is the word that God has given him. And it's a warning of judgment, as we said. It's a very simple message. Repent. Give up. The enemy now is going to capture you. No use fighting. God's judgment is coming. But nonetheless, repent. And it reminds us that, you see, with God, you see, there is punishment. Being sorry is not enough, is there? Sometimes chastisement is necessary. God will bring this judgment. And God shows his willingness, the verse 3, to forgive them. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. It doesn't say here that he will stop this Babylonian empire coming and overthrowing, but what God wants above all, doesn't he? He wants repentance. He wants a true turning of the heart. That's always the way. You know, people sometimes, they come to God, they just come and they want some problem relieved. They don't want repentance of heart. They don't want to be right with God. But this is what God is concerned about here, that they truly repent in their hearts. And we must say we deserve, don't we, any punishment that God sees fit to impose upon us. But that's not how some people want it. They not only want the forgiveness of their sins, but they never want to face up the consequences to their mistakes in life. But really, this is God's final plea to them. God's word is always harsh, but it's always loving. And here God entreats. And really, the whole of the word of God is like this, isn't it? God's word is always entreating. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. Why? Because there's coming a day of judgment. God is holy. Man is sinful. We have sinned against a holy God, and we must repent and seek the Lord now while he may be found. God's judgment is coming. This book of the Bible is all true. There's no error in it. Despite what all the critics and the cynics and the comedians say in this world, this book is the greatest treasure that you and I have. Do you know that at the Queen's coronation, in 1953, on the 2nd of June, she was handed a Bible at Westminster Abbey. And the Archbishop of Canterbury said this, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. Our Queen was handed the most valuable thing in the world. But what of our nation? What of our country? How we have forsaken the ways of God. Well, we should treat our Bibles, dear friends, with the greatest respect. We should honor it. The French philosopher Voltaire said 100 years from my death, the Bible will be a museum piece. But is it? No, it's the living word of Almighty God, and it continues. Voltaire is now long gone. He's in hell, now thoroughly ashamed of himself. Many people have done what this wicked king Jehoiakim did. He tried to get rid of the word of God. As we know in the case of Voltaire, it is said that his home was turned to a printing press for the Geneva Bible. God unwittingly always has the last word, doesn't he? Now, then, we've noticed from the verse 1 to the verse 7, but here the verse 8 to the verse 9, we notice secondly that the word was read, and it was read by Baruch in the temple in the hearing of some of the lower officials first. Verse 9, and it came to pass in the 5th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the 9th month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Why a fast? Well, because it was a national crisis. The enemy has already raided once. Egypt has now fallen. There's no alliance that can come and help. And so now there is a call of national prayer, something we desperately need in this our country. A day of national prayer, a fasting. Then, verse 10, read Baruch the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. What a wonderful opportunity that was on that day of fasting. The words of Jeremiah. Could you think of a greater opportunity to bring the word of God to a people that are now praying and seeking in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe? So much in the word of God is said about Shaphan. Godly man, a great grandfather, and he has 3 sons here who are very godly young men. These men were trained in the days of godly King Josiah, and they were honorable, and they hear the word of God, and they want to hear more. All the national officials gather together, and they hear Baruch read, we read there, from the room of Jeremiah, one of the 3 sons of here Shaphan, this godly man. Shaphan read the book of the law, as we read in 2 Kings, to Josiah, godly King Josiah. Now his sons follow in his footsteps. These men listened carefully. They were God-fearing men. They knew that they had, as a nation, they had grieved God. But now, with the king here, Shaphan's family has said, godly men. But what about the nation? What about the people? It's another story altogether. Well, underlying this message again, it's very simple. Repent. Repent. Don't bother fighting. God is going to take away the people. Don't fight. Don't rebel. Don't resist. You'll die. Now, you notice in the verse 15, he is welcomed with great respect. This is Baruch in the verse 15. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. These men wanted to hear firsthand. First of all, they hear from a scribe, but now from Baruch himself. And they want to notice the verse 17. They want to examine the authenticity of this letter. Is it really from Jeremiah? And they asked Baruch, verse 17, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? How did you? Well, he goes and he tells them. Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. He says, don't even tell anybody where you are, because they know that the people, that even the king himself, will despise the words of Jeremiah the prophet. Don't tell anybody where you are. Hide yourself. Hide Jeremiah, wherever he is. We don't want to know. This is the word that has been dictated. But you see, this word that was given to Jeremiah is the word of God. Because later on, the Lord says, write it again after it's destroyed. And so what do they do at this point? They make arrangements then to go and to take the letter to the king, but it needs to go to another level. Verse 20, and they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the words now, not the actual scroll, not read yet. But here it's introduced to him that there is a problem. Jeremiah the prophet has spoken. Baruch has come. We've heard him. And we think that the king needs to hear this message. Verse 21, so the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with a penknife. So the word came as a scroll, and as you scroll down, it was counted as a leaf. And here is the king sitting by his fire, by the hearth, and he takes a penknife, and he starts to cut the word of God out, sections that he doesn't like, till eventually there's nothing left. But we're told in the verse 25, nevertheless, Elithan and Deliah and Jeremiah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. Despite people and these close aides, these advisors next to the king, pleading with him, don't burn the word of God, he continued to do it. But you know, again, let me say, people, you may not have taken a Bible and put it in the fire, but every time you hear the word of God read and you do not repent, you're rejecting God's word. It's just the same. You're casting it aside. You're not hearing it. See, the problem with this king is he wouldn't hear it. God is warning him. This is a loving entreaty. Repent. Repent with the nation. Thou hast sinned. Seek the Lord's forgiveness. No, but you know what he wanted? He wanted his position as king. He wanted to hold on to what he had. He didn't want to give it up. He wanted all that he had as the great king. He didn't want to deny it, and that is how we are in our own lives. We say, Lord, I'm king of my life. I will not bow. I'll not surrender to God. I'll not deny myself. And what do? We cut out bits of the word we don't like in our minds, in our hearts, and we throw it away and we say, "This, I don't need this. I'll not submit to this. Who is this man? Who is this king, Lord Jesus, that he should rule over me?" That's how we are, really, by nature. We're like this great king. We take portions of the word of God we like, and we keep it. And we say, I like it. That suits me. But the portions that offend us, by nature, we reject. The Lord Jesus said, blessed is the man who is not offended in me. The word of God tells us the truth, dear friends, that there is a day of wrath, that we're all sinners. And the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. You're in a position of condemnation. Why? He says, because they have not believed on the name of God's dear Son. By nature, we're in a position of condemnation, as this king was here. And yet he wouldn't heed the word of God. He burnt the roll, the verse 25. They pleaded with him, but he would not hear them. And it's the way it is with so many. They'll come and they'll sit under the ministry of God's word, but they will not hear it. The Lord said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, those doers of the word. Instead, we notice the verse 26, but the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abadiel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Isn't that amazing? Oh, the king hates the messenger. It's always the way, isn't it, with people? They hate the preacher. It's God's word. And dear friends, sinners are like this. Hate the messenger. The king here wants Baruch and Jeremiah destroyed. But the Lord hid them. Now we know at times that the prophets were killed, but they were killed in the Lord's time. And sinners will be judged for that. Eventually we know the great prophet of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, was put to death by the hands of wicked men, but that was the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God that he should be put to death by the hands of wicked men. Why? So that he would bear our sins on the cross, those of us who believe upon him, those whose sins he was bearing on the cross. It pleased God that the Lord Jesus Christ should take our sins. But God determined that he would be put to death by the hands of wicked men. Do we realize that? That is the working out of Almighty God's sovereign purpose and plan of our salvation. And friends, the message of this passage is very simple. God's word cannot die. God's word will be fulfilled. Verse 27, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After that, the king had burned the roll. Why? Because the Lord knew it. The Lord saw it. And the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. You see, as many times as you try to dismiss the word of God, friends, let me say, it is written. It is written not only in your Bible, but God's word is enduring from generation to generation. And though the heavens and the earth pass away, the word of the Lord shall endure forever. And God will perform all his good pleasure. It is his good pleasure to save souls. It is also his good pleasure to send impenitent sinners to an everlasting wrath in hell. I will perform all my good pleasure. Now notice the message to Jehoiakim. Verse 29, and thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come to destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. You see, he was too proud, wasn't he, to accept God's judgment. The people have sinned. Why not? Why not? The people deserve this. But he's too proud. He's rejecting God's judgment. He's rejecting God's ways. As I said, he wants to remain king. This is how so often we are in our own lives. We will not submit and yield to the great king, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of lords, the King of glory. We will not have him to rule over us like this king. And now notice the judgment. Therefore, verse 30, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And did you know that this prophecy came true? In the first place, there was none to rule in Judah ever again. That prophecy is fulfilled in Zedekiah, the very last king. This wicked king, Jehoiakim, 6 years later, dies. In late 598 BC, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah again and laid siege to Jerusalem, which lasted 3 months, and Jehoiakim died before the siege ended. This prophecy was fulfilled. Friends, the word of the Lord stands, and sinners shall be judged. The Lord Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spoke to the Jews. He speaks to all men. He says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. The word of God from cover to cover is telling us to repent. God gives that message right in the beginning of the book of Genesis, right through to the end, the book of the Revelation. God's word is constantly saying, repent, turn, turn ye. But this king would not. And God fulfills this prophecy. His dead body shall be cast in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. In other words, no burial. He died there on the battlefield. Perhaps there was a later burial, but it was an awful end for him. An awful end. Now, what is the application, dear friends? I think the message is very simple this evening. What did this man do with the word of God? He cast it aside. He put it in the fire. God's word came back. God's word's the same. This Lord's Day as it was last Lord's Day. It's not changed. The message that the Lord has given me is the same message that He gives to every preacher of the gospel, to preach repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus. He gives the gift of repentance, but He nonetheless commands repentance of sins. It's incumbent upon men. Why? Because we have all sinned, and we know it in our hearts. We have broken God's laws, time without number. We are sinners in the hands of an angry God, and God commandeth all men to repent. But in His mercy, He gives the gracious gift of faith to believe upon His Son who died for His people. Now none who are not the Lord's will repent. None of them will repent. They'll all be lost. They'll all be proven to be haters of God, despisers of God, as we all are by nature. Haters of God, despisers of God. But you see, as it was in these days of Judah, there were those that truly feared. And who is it that does it that men should fear before God? God does it, that anybody should fear. Ecclesiastes 3:14, God doeth it that men should fear. You notice around the king at this time, there were those that feared, and there were those that didn't fear. None of them trembled. In the final, those that were close to the king, none of them trembled. They all stood there, and none of them trembled. None of them feared. What a solemn thing to have people that do not repent and do not fear God. I think it's a great thing not to fear God. You should fear because you don't fear God, because you don't fear His wrath. Notice the verse 24, yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. My, what a difference between these men that are close to the king and Shaphna and his three sons. And there's a lesson for you. Be careful who your companions are. Be careful who your friends are. Make friends with God's people, those who fear God, because evil company corrupts good manners, as the Word of God says. And it's bad manners, dear friends, to not fear God, to not respect Him. Because God will not be mocked. God is coming in judgment. He is coming in flaming fire. And He will take vengeance, as Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. The gospel tells us that there is a Savior. The gospel tells us that we're sinners. The gospel tells us we must repent and seek the Lord now. Because if He is not our Savior, He is going to be our judge. Now God will save every one of His people. I wonder how many people this day, we note it was a great day of fasting, day of national mourning and seeking the Lord. I wonder how many were truly turned to the Lord that day. Heaven will reveal. And sometimes it's situations like this, when there's a great crisis, and there's a word from the Lord that comes, and the Lord moves hearts. But let me tell you, there's a great day of crisis coming. There's a day of your end. And you don't know when that will be. And many try to call out in their last day, in their last hour, but it's too late. They're lost. And they find no hope. But there's also coming that great day when we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God. And there'll be no escape. There'll be no turning to the Savior then. That's why the Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. And those who are made to feel their need of God, God says, ho, everyone that thirsts, let him come to the waters of life. If God has made us to feel our need of His dear Son, made us to feel our sin and our wrath-deservingness, God's entreaty from his word is, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, let him come." What are you thirsty for? Forgiveness. What are you thirsty for? Pardon with God. What are you thirsty for? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they. Do you desire this? This salvation is not for good people, because there's none that are good. There are none that are righteous. But this salvation is for those who are made to feel their emptiness and their wrath-deservingness, and to know that God is a God of mercy. And it is through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that mercy was obtained for those very self-same people that now know and feel their nakedness before God without Jesus Christ. Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But this King Jehoiakim didn't see himself as such. Didn't see himself that he should repent. Why should I hear the word of God? Why should I repent with the rest of the nation? God says, "My word will stand." Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. This man heard it and he threw it away. What will you do tonight as you've heard the word of God? The message of the word of God is again the same. Repent, seek the Lord, turn from your sinful ways and ask God to have mercy on you. Ask him to work in your heart. He saves, as I said, sinners, because none are righteous. All have sinned, and we're all deserving of his wrath. But he delights to save and to have mercy upon those that are brought by his grace to that place. Has he brought you to that place? You know, it's just denial of the truth to say that I have no sin. John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, and there he's speaking to Christians, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Why? Because he sent his Son to the cross to die for our sins. And we know it and we feel it, that we are great sinners. And all we can plead as Christians is God's love in the Lord Jesus, that he so loved that he gave him to be the propitiation for our sins. And our hope is in him. The only hope for Judah at this point is God's mercy, that while he is going to send them into the land of Babylon, which he did, he in his mercy will return them to Jerusalem. And it's true for us as sinners. In one way, this pictures heaven. You know, the Lord saves us, but we're still in this world, aren't we? We're still in the Babylon of this world. But one day God is going to take us to heaven. He's going to one day take us to the New Jerusalem, where we shall be forever with the Lord. Now, dear friends, where are you tonight? This king didn't even see Babylon, and he never saw Jerusalem again, and he certainly will not see the New Jerusalem, as he cast God's word aside. People try to destroy the word of God. They try to put it out of their minds. But wrath will come. May God have mercy on you to bring you to bow the knee to his word, to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let us not be rejecters of God's word, but may we be hearers and doers. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way. Seek the Lord now while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. Amen.